Consider and talk on, and we're calling this teaching, What is our walk before Him? What is our walk before Him? The Holy Spirit comes to bring all truth to us, everything in this life that we need to know and to be able to walk faithfully before Him. But He also wants us to know what we are receiving and what our walk is and what it is like. And very often we have to keep those close accounts in which to look and search that we are doing what He wants of us, because at the end of the day, it is obedience. And we're not always obedient. We know that. And our lives at times simply prove it. But like any father who loves, who is patient, merciful, long-suffering, He works with us until He works that within us, both to will and do for His good pleasure. So what is your walk before Him? Let's start off with 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. That tells us this: but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from our sins. So here we see the cleansing work of the blood of Jesus that covers sin, enabling us to have that stand and fellowship with Almighty God and to have fellowship with each other. This is why the blood of Christ is so important. And this is also why we share communion together, the breaking of bread and the cup, which signifies the blood, the new covenant found in Christ. They are the signs and bases of our fellowship. Unity, oneness with Him and each other. This is why it is so important we are found in His body, His headship, so that we have this continual fellowship with Him and each other, with the Word of God being ministered to us. This helps us with our walk with Him and each other. This is absolutely imperative, because it says, as He is light, so we walk in that light, and that light enables us to have fellowship with one another. That is the basis of fellowship, unity, and oneness, that we walk continually 24/7 in that light, the light of the Holy Spirit, who enlightens the Word to us, our walk, our fellowship with Him. I think we're all in agreement that this is so vital for us to continue to grow and mature and to be sustained and kept in this wicked world that we live in. So He requires us then to be walking now on a much deeper level than we were, say, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. We have to see that our walk, our fellowship, our coming together week by week is causing us to mature and to go deeper. They are always clear signs. They are healthy spiritual signs that we are growing and maturing. As we've said so often, as parents, you would be very, very concerned if you saw that your child was not developing emotionally, psychologically, and in body. You'd be very, very concerned as parents. Well, our Father, who is in heaven, He is concerned over us. It's one of the priorities of any parent, and He is our Father, our parent, and he watches over us that we mature and grow and develop in the likeness of his son. This is healthy. This is important. And we should expect that with our fellowship, our church life, our coming together, even though we're online today, we're all scattered around the world. The work of the Spirit is still the same. We cannot limit God how he works in these closing days. And the key to this is seeking him and his counsel on everything. And that's, again, the importance of this. Seeking him in everything that he addresses, in every area and facet of our life. And very often, of course, the Holy Spirit has to highlight all of that. Let's turn quickly to Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 to 6. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 to 6. We know this very well. It's a song. We also sing this. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He shall direct your path. There is a wonderful divine principle that we walk by. One of the favorites. Because there's so much in that. It opens up to trust. And that's what we do. That is our walk of faith, just trusting him. And he said not to lean on your own understandings. Why? Because the mind, our minds, are being renewed by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. So we see that our minds are in a work, in a transition, in a change. He's working each day on our minds, our thinking, our attitude, our motives, everything. The mind is being worked on 24/7. You just don't see it. But that is the miraculous part of our salvation. And so he says, because of that, don't lean towards it. Don't rely totally on it. And he says that you are to acknowledge him. In other words, you seek him on everything. Whatever decision, whatever you're not sure about, whatever you read in the Word of God, whatever we encounter numerous things each day for the purpose to throw us entirely on him for his guidance and leading. And he then says, I will direct your paths in accordance to that. So you'll have no problem in how he's leading, how he's guiding you. You will be totally dependent upon that guidance. You will have that assurance because in your ways, in everything, you are acknowledging him. You are committing it to him. You are waiting on him for his leading, his guidance. And there we are. He'll direct our paths as the same as he's directed our paths today to come here in this time of fellowship in this room. You see, none of you have gone before him and asked for a proof text. Lord, do you want me today in this meeting? Do you want me today hearing this word? Give me a proof text. Show me somewhere in the word. No, we haven't done that. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is now controlling our lives. He's leading and guiding us, and we know where he wants us. We've already read it in 1 John 1:7, in fellowship, covered by the blood of the Lamb, in unity and oneness under his headship. You know, so often we make this walk so complicated, so difficult, because we're willful. We want to do it our way. And it's a total, complete surrender. And when we do that, then he takes over. And there is your rest. You're no longer striving any longer. God has not saved us to strive, to try, like sadly so many are doing. Much of what you hear and see in churches is a result of disobedience. They have not learnt that one main principle to surrender completely unto the Lord, to let go. Now, of course, we don't all do that immediately. I'm aware of that. We're all coming out of different environments, different situations, experiences, different families, cultures, and so on. But the ultimate aim and goal is to let go and let him take over. You won't go under anything but. You keep in control and you will go under. But we don't when we let go. But of course, the enemy is so vocal. Well, you can't let go of that area. You certainly can't let go of this. You'll go under. It'll all collapse around you. Well, it doesn't. That's the amazing thing. Why? Because your salvation, your walk is miraculous. He's a God of miracles, unlike all other religions who are striving, trying to get to God. Our God came down to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. He lived amongst us in the grime, the filth, the sin, the degradation. He identified with all of that, yet remained holy and righteous. That is the great difference of our faith to other faiths. And always hold on to that. And always in your witness remind, use that our God came down in flesh, identifying with man. These other religions cannot appeal to that. They really can't. And the enemy hates that one, you see. But there we are. Praise God. The Lord is moving. I've heard some positive testimonies over this last week of a move that's beginning to take place in this country. And brothers and sisters, I'm saying this because of your prayers, our prayers, faithfully coming together, getting into warfare against Islam. There is now beginning to be green shoots appearing and coming. There are, I heard, some who are in Islam are despondent with it and are turning to Jesus Christ. There is a move taking place. And I take encouragement in that, because as you know, we have been warring against it for a number of years in this country. It's not to say it's done away with, but there is a move, there is a stirring that is going on, that is coming out in testimony. And I've also heard that in the ages of 20 to 30 in this country, there is a move now, they're turning to the Lord. Young people are fine asking questions. I know this because of what I do online. I every month get an update and it shows me the most who are listening to my ministry, the Word. And they are in the ages of 20 to 35. That is the most popular. So let's hold on, because the devil tries to always minister the negative all the time, that our prayers are profaning before the throne of grace, that God is hearing our prayers. We are being led by the Holy Spirit how to pray, and God doesn't get it wrong. And this is just the start of what we're going to see in these times of restoration. And let's hold on to it. It's good at times to have a good, positive report. And I believe we will see more and more of this as the Lord confirms this. But getting back to this, looking as it says in Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6, where we're to acknowledge him, to be directed by him. You see, when our paths are directed by the Lord, they will always succeed. God's word will go forth. It will not return void. If it is led by the Holy Spirit, by saints who've yielded to the Spirit and doing it his way and not resisting, we will then see these results. We should expect to see these results. We should expect to see a remnant that will be redeemed in these last days. This is what God has raised FGA up for that purpose. We're all of us playing a vital part in this for the glory of God. Hallelujah. But you see, at times we make our own common sense decisions and then ask the Lord to bless them. And he doesn't, because it's come out of you, your mind, your soulish thinking. It's not necessarily sin, it's just of the world. And God doesn't want us to do that. And he isn't going to bless these soulish decisions. He can't bless because it's not his will. And so it doesn't become reality. And we've all learnt that. We've all prayed these soulish prayers, only to find nothing comes of it. Because it's not lining up with the will of God. And here it is in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. This is what deals with this. Faith hasn't produced anything. And faith must, Hebrews 11, 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So our faith that pleases God, that moves God in which to work in the way that he does, is when it lines up with the will of God. And what is the will of God? We get into the word of God, and there we find God's will is ministered to us by the Holy Spirit, because the word is revelation. You will never understand this word unless you receive it and are being taught it by revelation. Because revelation reveals the will of God. This is why it is hid to the world. They don't understand it. And that is why you have today many preaching and teaching doctrines of demons. They are preaching it in the soul, in the intellect, in the carnal. And that's sometimes how we have prayed or interpreted the word of God, and nothing comes of it. I know nothing unless it is revealed. That is revelation. That is how our Saviour walked. He reveals clearly that he did only that which the Father revealed. And who was it revealed to? Was it the disciples? Was it the people that followed him? No, it was revealed only to him in order to preach and teach and show the mighty signs and wonders of God to an unbelieving people. That is how it is. That is why God is giving you direct revelation, so that the revelation you are receiving is interpreted in your life, in your walk, in your speech, in your conduct, in your sharing of the word of God, that I have received this by my Father. That is not sin. That is not blasphemy. For you to say, I received this by my Heavenly Father. The same principle that Jesus walked by. This is why the disciples asked him these questions. They saw something different, what he was receiving. And it's the same with us, who are now, we're now baptized in the Holy Spirit for that purpose. So often our will conflicts and competes with the Lord and his word. And that's our problem. And so we yield our will over to the Lord. He works in us both to will and do for his good pleasure, as the word of God says. We surrender it over. That's all you can do, brothers and sisters. You may be saying to me, oh, Pastor, I'm listening to this, but I'm willful. I don't always obey. Listen to what he's saying. Surrender it over. That is what you do. Surrender. You hold up the white flag. I give in. And then the Spirit begins to work, and he works his will in you to do it. You are trying to do it. And the enemy holds us in confusion with that and in bondage. I just can't do it. I can't walk this. I can't obey him and everything. Of course you can't. God knew that the law God gave to Israel, he knew they couldn't keep it and wouldn't keep it. Nothing changes with human nature. God knows even the Bible we have, what we read. He knows we can't keep it. We don't live it. It's done when we honestly come before him in bowed knee and we surrender. And say, Lord, I surrender my life. I surrender my will. I surrender my all. I raise this white flag. Then you are allowing and asking the Holy Spirit to come and take over, which he will do, to work in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, doing that work as you surrender over to him. Wish to God more Christians would see this, and this is taught over the pulpit. But it's not. It's always down to what you've got to do. You've got to keep the law. You've got to obey. That's all I ever read online with so many of these Christians who are trying to obey the Torah, the law. Failing. Delusional. You try and tell them. They can't see it. They're blinded. It comes by surrender. How did Jesus surrender to the cross? He settled it in the Garden of Gethsemane. He didn't fight against it. He just allowed the Spirit to crucify him, which he was. He couldn't do it, but his Father did it and used the Romans. It's the same principle. We got to stop trying and you will fail. It's a surrender, and then the Spirit works and takes over, and there is the rest. And you know what? And I can speak this from experience. When I have surrendered over to the Holy Spirit and stopped fighting him and being willful and doing it my way, what I want, I cannot describe to you the peace, the rest that comes. And I find myself saying, whatever was this all about? The fight that I was putting up. And when you find God's presence, his power takes over, you want more of it. You just want more. And that's what's so wonderful about obeying God. You actually want more of it. because you are blessed by his presence, his peace, his power, his protection, his provision. I'm not trying anymore. God saved you and I to be before him, those sons and daughters of God, to be that royal priesthood. As I say often, and I'll say it again, King Charles doesn't try to be king, he is. And it's the same with us. We cease from these works, Hebrews 4. We walk now by faith, trusting him. Pride is the problem, because we believe we're doing his will until God deals with that pride. And then we realize we're not doing his will. I am the one that's willful. And that's why he doesn't bless it. This is why so many Christians are not being blessed as they should be. Whole in mind, body and spirit, which is what we should be. Pride will always say, I know what to do here. I know what to do. We've all said it. I've heard it. I've heard it come out of my mouth. I don't know a thing unless God reveals it to me. This word that I'm preaching today, I haven't a clue. It comes by the Spirit, by revelation, as he takes over my mouth to speak this before you. But what does he require of me? Yes, to study the word. Yes, I get an idea of what he wants me to talk about. That's why often he gives me a title and he'll give me some scriptures or quicken by the Spirit. But I haven't a clue how this is going to be delivered. I don't know what next word is coming out of my mouth. I simply trust him. I yield over to the Spirit and let him do that work. It's called the anointing, the unction of the Spirit. It's the same with speaking in tongues. You allow the Spirit to communicate through you, bypassing the mind. And there is the rest. And that is a direct communication with your Spirit, speaking to God, Almighty God. Wonderful. No wonder the devil fights against all of that. We often put our sense of duty on the throne of our life. And it should be instead enthroning the resurrection life of Jesus. And that is the difference. We're about resurrection. New life, new future, new hope. Everything is made new. And how the enemy tries to grind and bring us back to this world, this wretched world, on its way to judgment. You've been saved, delivered from all of that, brothers and sisters. We now have this new life in Jesus Christ. Our life is because of him. All that matters is because of him. We're consumed with him. Our life 24/7 is with him, walking with him, doing what he wants. I'm busy about my Father's business. That's what we should be saying when we get up in the morning. I'm about my Father's business this day. And just take it by faith. Turning back to 1 John, chapter 1, let's look at verses 5 to 7. I know we've looked at a bit at this, but we'll look to a little bit more. As it says in 1 John, chapter 1, 5 to 7, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So we certainly soon know when we're not walking in the light, when we're sinning and doing our own thing, The Holy Spirit quickly brings it to your attention. If you have the Holy Spirit within you, and he has a way of doing it. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from his sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. His word is not in us. He's dealing with sin. He's dealing with unbelief. And the blood of Jesus keeps us in standing and fellowship with him and each other. This is why I make so much about the blood of the Lamb. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. It is our life force. It's what will save me. It's his provision. That holy, sinless, spotless blood shed at Calvary to cover my sin, my unbelief, my hardness of heart and rebellion. It's miraculous. And it enables me to keep in the light as he is in the light. What is light for, brothers and sisters? So we can see. There's nothing worse than being in dark or twilight. And you can't see where you're going so much. This is why a lot of people don't like driving at night. I don't like driving at night. Particularly when you go into areas where there's not much street lighting. It's also different at night. And there is the spiritual principle. He is the light of the world. And we're in that light, not just partial light or just on the outside. No, of his fullness we have received. A full light as he is light, not partial. It's for the purpose that we don't get lost or go astray. That's why. And it tells us to walk in it. We don't do it out of our duty or a conscious effort. That's not what it's about. I don't go to church on Sunday because it's my duty. Forget it. No, this light, this fellowship with him, each other, comes out of desperation. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They will be filled. You know, one saint said this: it's easy to explain reasons for our actions to others, but obedience to the Lord, there can be no other explanation. It's just obeying. And there we are. Just as obey, for there's no other way. And he even works that obedience within us. And that is the wonderful thing about it. This is why we are so easily misconstrued. A lot of the world doesn't understand. They think we're in bondage. They think we're bound by duty, by religion and whatever. They can't see that it is a joy, it is a blessing, it is a pleasure to walk in obedience with the Lord. And that's why the cross turns our walk into a supernatural walk. And this is why we make so much about the cross, that we are crucified with Christ. And let's, before we close with this, let's just turn to some scriptures we know so well, in which to remind us what we have been talking about today. For example, in Galatians 2:20, that we have a song we sing about. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, who gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. There you are, because the apostle clearly reveals the law can't save you, couldn't save him, and he was an expert on the law. And he said, the only way is I identify with him as he went to the cross, so I spiritually also go to my cross daily that I take up. What does Romans 6 verse 6 tell us? Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. Knowing this, I love it when you, the apostle always says knowing this, it means a knowing in the heart. You could say, know this in the heart, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So in other words, he says, know it, take it for granted, rely on it, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Rely on that. It doesn't matter what your week has been. It doesn't matter if you've missed it. You sin badly with your tongue or actions or whatever. It still comes back. Know it. Rely on it. It's going to work in you. If it didn't work yesterday, it will work today or next week. That is why we've been changed from glory into glory. We don't give up. If we fall off the horse, we dust ourselves down, get back on it again. That's how you walk with the Lord. That's the long-suffering and mercy of God. And that's how we should be with one another, praying one for another, believing the best for one another. You see. And finally, brothers and sisters, 2 Corinthians. Where are we? 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 5, which says, now he who has prepared for us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we're always confident knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. There we are. The Holy Spirit is a guarantee. It is a seal. It is a sign. You have the stamp on you, sold. That's what it means. And you ain't for sale. You have been purchased, and the person who has purchased you is coming back for you and taking you home for himself. That is what is declared before the powers of darkness and Satan himself. We are his peculiar treasure, set apart unto him. Amen, amen.